Welcome. You're listening to Tallcast Psychic 101 on Station 1. No nonsense wisdom, refreshingly real radio. Sun, here it comes. We're going to talk about the book, No One Is Listening to the Sun by Tobias Lars. An indigo spirit shares his inspirations. Tonight's topics include not just love, but tainted love, baby. Yeah, baby, I said that's right. Sex and love, Just in case you were thinking about not hanging around on BBS, I know you want to be right here for the next hour to meet this one-of-a-kind upcoming guest. We had a little bit of a late start tonight, technical difficulties, you know. In live radio, these things happen. So, nevertheless, we're here. We're live. We're great. I am a psychic medium. What makes me a bit different than other mediums is that I'm happy when you come to see me, and I'm even happier when you don't need to come see me. I teach the best way to develop your own psychic mind. Everyone is psychic, and nobody is special. So be sure to check out KarenPaulCatConley.com to learn more. The site is designed to be an interesting resource, even if you choose not to use my services. But enough about me. As Ed Sullivan says, we've got a really great show for you tonight. I'm happy to introduce you to Tobias Lars, author of Listening to the Sun. Welcome aboard, Tallcat Psychic 101, Tobias.
Thanks so much, Tallcat. I'm laughing. I love that you played, Here Comes the Sun. I hadn't,
Yeah, Sun, get it? Listening to the Sun. I'm famous for my my little musical interventions, you see. I take such joy in that. So, listeners, I met Tobias at a wolf sanctuary benefit this spring, and we'll get to how he's connected with the wolves in just a bit. If there were such a thing as a spiritual football huddle somewhere, 10-1, you would find Tobias Lars in the center of it all. His business and life experiences are about as varied as it gets. Tobias Lars, BA and MBA, is an author, speaker, poet, healer, activator, musician, and spiritual travel agent. He has spent time in the business world and in India, sitting with a master teacher, with Native American shamanic practices with the Free People, heart-centered tantra, and is connected to the nature divas in Pan. He resides in Sedona, Arizona. Now, that's his resume, but about his personal life. Yeah. Lars, you had two major Tobias, you got two first names. Excuse me ahead of time if I exchange them. You had two major spiritual experiences, and one had to do with you minding your own business, doing some yoga, and the other one was a really big whammy of the DBD, or divorce, business failure, and bankruptcy. So how was it living through those things, and how has it changed you?
The first awakening happened when I was 19 years old, and I just want to say off the bat, it's not about searching for these awakenings. And, you're psychic, Tallcat, and many people come to me and say, well, why am I not seeing spirits, and why is that not happening to me? And I try to gently remind us that it's happening to all of us all the time, and it isn't always timely to open up those channels. So when I talk about my awakening of my channels, there's a timing to it. There's a reason we are in physical bodies. I mean, we spend a lot of time and energy to get down here, so we shouldn't immediately turn around and get out always,
I love that.
Yeah, so I always tell people, don't worry about that. When it's timely and it's really right, it'll just happen and you'll realize you've been seeing and hearing and sensing things all along. But so
that's
when I was
right.
19, I had been in, kept me out of trouble was really a swimmer and sports and soccer and just a super athlete and academics, and that kept me out of trouble. But then reaching college, it was sort of, there's got to be more. I was disappointed. College did not turn out to be the true universitas, the universal search for truth, was not where the school I went to. It wasn't really true searching for truth. And so I was a little young and idealistic and disappointed. I wasn't studying at some ancient, you know, true university like the Greeks or, you know, an ancient Rome or something. So that set me on. I started reading spiritual texts. And actually, my dad was a scientist, a physicist, and so I found a beautiful book. Many people on the spiritual path have heard of it. It's The Tao of Physics, and where a scientist from Stanford, you know, one of the best colleges in the nation, talked about his spiritual experiences of seeing energy, and he's a physics professor at Stanford. And so I thought, I'll bring this to my dad and my physics professors, and let's create this merging of these two worlds. And I was stonewalled and just looked upon with fear and terror in their eyes, and I realized that's not going to work. So I turned to reading the Tao Te Ching and various other spiritual texts, and one night, while viewing, just looking at pictures of the asanas of yoga, that those are the postures of yoga, my body knew how to do them. And I'd never
done
any teaching or learning from anybody else. And as I did the postures, they felt like the closest thing I can say is that they were keys that were being put into a lock and unlocking some kind of energetic system in me. And I couldn't deny it. I would literally spiral out the top of my head, and somehow the fact that I remembered how to do them, or my body remembered how to do them. And for the next 7 years, I did yoga and was pretty much a strict vegetarian, and that was my salvation, and it was the first birth. But feeling the Kundalini energetic awakening and my body remembering how to do those, I could not deny, my young scientific mind couldn't deny there's something going on here.
What a great connection.
Yeah. So that was wonderful. I loved that. And after that, I found various teachers and spent some time in India. And that started my spiritual search in earnest. Yeah.
Well, what about the chapter two part with the big D word of divorce? We've all been there. I know I have.
I call it the holy trifecta. Yeah, I love that. You know, we've always heard people say, while we're going through tough times in our life, I mean, divorce is, no matter how awake people are going through, it's still a heart-ripping, wrenching, you know, it's a tough thing. You have to get real. Bankruptcy will clear your... That's huge, too, because basically we've turned into, you know, money is God. I always joke.
Mm-hmm.
On God we trust. And I wanted to do a sketch show at one point where we just add the little L in there. And gold we trust, you know.
Yes.
And that's something we're working through. And, boy, is that current right now. Are we feeling the terror of financial insecurity right now? It's
going
in waves across the nation. And we can talk about that in a minute. I've been asked.
Yeah, we will.
Scared about that. But so, yeah, my second wake-up was I've been doing a spiritual seminar that I was teaching with a partner across the country, but doing that with groups and having to be that open, it triggered like an avalanche. I liken it to a spring river that's been frozen. Imagine one of those Russian rivers that's been frozen all winter, and then when spring comes, you got huge blocks of ice sort of cracking loose. And that's what happened to me at another level. Doing that work with people, that energy pouring through me, it cracked a whole nother awakening for me when I was 29 and a half, of course, which is, I don't know that much about astrology, but later I learned that is the Saturn return, which is a huge reawakening usually for people, or a re-choosing of their life. And so it got very obvious. Spirit said, if you want to process this stuff and really get what you're asking for, you're going to have to let go. And I had to let go of my marriage, my relationship, my idea of the business I was doing. I was with two other partners. We were doing international business with some Korean companies, and we were basically doing very big projects. And it all came crashing down. And it was like God was saying, you think you know how to do all this, Tobias, but you've asked to know me, and I'll show you that you cannot fight In other words, if you're asking to know true spirit, your own higher self or soul, God, call it what you want, that's different than relying on the ego, the thing, the capable. We turn into very capable humans. You know, we can be very good at motivating others or being leaders. And I was a leader, and God showed me, if you want to rely on me and really know me, and that's my own higher self.
Right.
That's different than what you've grown up thinking that you need to do this to run your world. And so it was a terrifying thing. You asked, what did that feel like? It was terrifying because nothing seemed to work, and it was absolutely wonderful because I got real proof of being taken care of.
So, that's, I'm a big believer in the value of adversity, so I understand what you're saying, Tobias.
Yeah.
Yes. And did those experiences, were those two great big, you know, crossroad times in your life, did that have anything to do with you getting to the point of founding and directing the your Sedona Soul Counseling and travel?
Yes, absolutely. That when it's like Alberto Villalda, who I like very much, shares it. It's like Russian nesting dolls, you know. It's like when you go into another phase of your life, you become bigger. It's like you expand to another level of yourself. And that second awakening for me, I learned to feel music and spontaneous creativity, which we all have inside us. But to release that, it's the shamanic journey. If you ever read about how shamans come into their time when they've been chosen to become a bridge between the worlds, they often go through a death experience, or they appear sort of crazy for a while. But in the old cultures, they knew this. They said, well, he's going through an awakening. She's going through a rebirth into becoming a shaman. And these shamans lived outside of boundaries. You couldn't pinpoint, categorize. They'd often be, the men would become feminine and the women would become more masculine. They would embody both sexes. So this birth, many of us are going through right now on the planet. And we don't have a model so much, although it's changing in the Western world for this birth. It's the second birth. It really is what Jesus was trying to tell us about as well. So that's what happened.
Well, you know, you know, my teacher Rumpa has often said that if Jesus were to return to this plane, he would not even recognize his own teachings. So I agree with you that that is really what he was talking about, was the born again.
Yes. And I want to encourage, there's so many of us out there right now that with time speeding up, and there's a chastening in a way, you know, and America is feeling this financially at the moment, and there's going to be no place safe to hide. We have to say it now. There's no place safe to hide from your stuff except inside yourself, connecting to your true self, your true heart, your authentic self, God, Spirit. And so these awakenings that people are going through, I can help clients that are going through this spiritual awakening because, you know, once you've been through it yourself, it's sort of like someone that's been through something, you can help them. So that's one of my things I love to do. But I feel this compassion in my heart because there's thousands now, hundreds of thousands of us, millions on the planet that are going to be going through an awakening. And
it's so true. I've often said that the best healers are the wounded healers.
And it used to be in traditions that you couldn't be a healer unless you had been through that sort of wounding yourself.
Yes.
So, yeah, absolutely. So I'm so thankful to God. And whenever I bitch and moan, which we do at times, right? Whenever I complain directly to God or Spirit, and if he or she doesn't just put me on the answering machine, which, you know, sometimes they do. But if I, then God says, well, he shows me my alternate futures that could have been. And I really am thankful and grateful. It's like that thing that everybody says. When they've been through a cancer, a divorce, or something terrible on the surface, it looks terrible. But what do we all say when we come out the other end? We all say,
yes,
it was the best thing that ever happened to me.
That is so true. That is so true. That is what I often call a contrast experience. It points us toward what we really do want.
Yeah.
The whole contrast of it is just so clear and obvious that we make a move in the right direction. And it's a quantum growth in spirit when that happens.
And I'm not advocating that you have to go through the holy trifecta of divorce, bankruptcy, and what was the other one? Cancer.
Right. Yes, it is not a requirement of the University of Life.
And in fact,
to experience
what,
that.
What my, the whole idea with my healing workshops, which I call SanctuaryForSouls.com, where we do an evening or a 4-day healing workshop, is a distillation of fun, easy things, because pioneers tend to have to go through a hard time, but then once it reaches the 100th monkey critical mass, then it can be easier to awaken. So I am actually very interested in, and the impetus behind Sanctuary for Souls, our healing workshops that we do in Sedona and on our spirit travel adventures with the wolves and dolphins, is can there be an easier way?
And, right.
And there can be. And so we do laughter therapy. We do feeling love in your body. We don't call it fancy pranayama yoga, although that is what we do, but in very simplified, direct, practical ways. So it's a distillation of can it be, because right now we don't have time. God has shown very clearly, Spirit has shown very clearly, you can't sit and slowly heal your stuff, because right now it's speeded up to a point where we need to let go of chunks of old stuff. And there
absolutely
is,
I agree.
And there's grace.
I agree.
And we create the graceful space, grace full of grace, in our workshops, so people have really massive healings. We've had miracles, so that people would call it.
That's so awesome, Tobias. For the listeners that have not heard of Tobias before, he is not only the author of We're Not Listening to the Sun, but he is the founder and director of Sedona Soul Counseling and www.spirittravel.com. And that's Spirit with one T. Spirit Travel with one T. Now, this organization that Tobias has created offers the most unique eco-adventures that I think I've seen in a long time. They're eco-adventures, but also in the form of a spiritual retreat for awakening souls. So if you've ever thought you would like to combine a truly great, memorable adventure trip with enhancing your own spiritual growth at the same time, well, here you go. I have demand for you right here, baby. Lars is going to be with us for the entire show, and he's going to take questions. Now, in fact, if there's anything Lars totally enjoys, it would be lively discourse and questions. Right, Lars?
That's right. And I like that you're using... You're right. I have two first names. And it's funny.
So,
no, I like...
Here's
that
a, here's,
go ahead.
Here's the numbers if you guys want to call in to inquire about the topic we're discussing or ask Lars a question. It's 877-876-5227 or 888-815-9756. That's right there on the front page of BBS. So we're fine with you calling in. We can go back to our discussion, and the phone lines are open now. So, you know, take a chance. Call in. What have you got to lose? Give us a call. One tidbit I found so interesting about you, Tobias, is about your father. Because as I understand it, back in the early 60s, he wrote the program used to control the core of nuclear reactors. Could you tell us a little bit about your relationship with him?
Oh, that's so interesting you're asking me about that.
I go right in there, Lars. Tobias, excuse me.
It's okay. I was just going to say I like that you're calling me by either of my first names.
It's interchangeable with me tonight. I don't know.
No, that's perfect, Karen Talkett.
Okay, good.
No, because we are coming to a place. I joke with people. I have a chapter in my book where I talk about no names, where we, at some point, you know, when I ask, there's beings that help us. Like when I do soul activations with people where we really work on activating these hidden layers within us, and that can happen in a natural, pleasurable way. There's beings, we can call them angels, guides, you know, whatever we want, but when I talk to them one time, I do a reprint of that conversation in my book here, Listening to the Sun, they told me, I asked them, what do you call yourselves? And they said, we don't have names in the place where we operate from. And because, and they showed me how my cat knows me, but she doesn't know my name. She knows my energy.
Yes.
It's like we have, just like we all have unique fingerprints, we all have unique soul energy vibrational prints. And so, anyway, I like that you're using my names interchangeable, because there's a time coming on Earth when we're not going to care that much about what our names are.
I agree.
Because we will know each other directly, meaning just the way your dog and cat looks at you, and they know you, and they don't care what your name is, because they don't go by names. They just condescend to operate with names so that we can call them. But anyway.
That's true.
I love that.
I do, too. Well, I'm glad you like it, because I'll try not to do it, but, you never know.
You're picking up on it.
No, yes.
My dad was a beautiful teacher for me. It's that Toltec saying that a good adversary is wonderful to find.
Yes, I know that saying.
Yes. And and often those people that we seem to have the most sort of butting heads with turns out to be the deepest love underneath and the deepest lessons and the deepest learning for all of us.
Mm-hmm.
And so my father and I did that for each other. And yes, he was a scientist, so he absolutely had no verbal space for speaking to me about my spiritual journey. And yet there were beautiful moments when he let me know that he had deep, deep spiritual experiences. And they usually occurred when I sort of pushed them to the wall.
Mm-hmm, yes. Well, you know, by the way, Tobias, I hear your father's enlightened now, isn't he? From where he is.
Yes. You're stopping me. You're leaving me without words by bringing this up. But thank you.
You're welcome.
No, he showed up one time with a friend. Even the last time we met, I got a premonition that he would pass more quickly than the doctors thought. And as we walked, he was a sailor, and so we used to sail together. It was a connection, you know, between father and son and family. We would go sailing in different parts of the world. And the last time we sort of walked together, we walked by a dock down in the Florida Keys. And I could feel his heart wanting to speak to me with words. And he never did, you know, directly speak to me about what was in his heart. But his heart spoke to me because I heard it loud and clear.
That's wonderful.
Yep. And then even though he was, you know, expected to live for several more years after that, 4 months after that time, he passed away. And then a few months later, I was sitting with one of my mentor friends who is very open and sees and feels spirits very, very well. And he all of a sudden, we were sitting in his beautiful garden, and all of a sudden he said, can you feel who's behind you? And usually I can feel, but when it's often our personal stuff, sort of, we don't.
Mm-hmm.
So I couldn't feel who was there, but as soon as he said, he looked at me then and said, it's your father, and he's enlightened now.
I love that.
And it was beautiful. And if you Google that title, it's your father, he's enlightened now, I have an article out there somewhere where I tell it in detail. But it was beautiful. And then my dad and I spoke telepathically, and it was so funny because we still had the same sort of a jousting match going on.
Oh, it's so interesting. In my work as a medium, I often tell my clients that your loved ones, because they land on the other side, they're not immediately advanced. They're still who they are. And that telepathic communication is so great with your dad. It's just, I had to go there because that, I think, is a beautiful part of your experience with life, combined with your, you know, the yoga thing and your divorce and bankruptcy. It's, you know, the thread of Tobias, you know. It's, to me, the essence of you. So that's why I go right in there to the heart of the matter, so to speak. So thank you for filling us in about him, because he was in his own way, a great man. And that's an example, the way you two communicate, of how we still are connected with our loved ones eternally. So that doesn't change. Now, Tobias's travel business, I'm going to kind of move over to that a little bit because it is so exciting. I really want to get to that. If you were to Google spiritual retreat and the word travel, the results would be beyond imagination in number. I know because I did it. It is certain many will not be the quality you're looking for as far as these trips go. But Tobias's solid business background combined with ongoing spiritual study makes him uniquely qualified, not only for creating tours, but gently facilitating the individual spirit at the same time. One quality I know about Tobias Lars is his unbridled ability to play. And what is better for a travel adventure? So tell us, Tobias, how and what gave you your great light, pardon the pun, bulb idea?
That's interesting. Where did it come from? I do know. The genesis of it was I had a strong inspiration to go to Kona, Hawaii. Joy and I, my partner, we had been there years ago, which was another interesting, we arrived September 10th, 2001, the day before 9/11, and we had a very interesting experience being in Hawaii during that time, and Mother Earth talked to me about that as well. But so going back to Kona one time, I had a woman I ran into in the hills of Sedona by Coffee Pot Rock. And we obviously had an appointment to talk, and I shared some information for her. I mean, we hadn't met before. We were like old friends. And then she turned to me at one point and said, "You need to swim with the dolphins when you go to Hawaii this time." And she said it very pointedly and strongly. And I knew that, but I had sort of not wanted to go on organized tours, and I didn't know how I would find it without it getting caught in a way I didn't want to do it. I wanted an authentic way of swimming with the wild dolphins. But her saying that sowed the seed so that when I did get there for a Christmas time by myself in Kona, that I just said, however that's supposed to happen, I'm open, I would like to do it. I set my intention for it and then let it go. And through there, I ran into a woman who runs a retreat center there, and she told me all the places where they come in to swim. And on my last day down by the place of refuge in Hawaii, the big island, which is the sacred place of atonement that the hunas used to use to heal people. And it's the only one that's fully remained in all the Hawaiian islands. It's quite an amazing place, the place of refuge. Well, there's a bay right there where the dolphins come in and rest during the day, and then they get active in the morning or at night. Well, I was down there by the bay on my last day, and a pod of dolphins showed up. And I think there was about 25 people there barbecuing and relaxing. It was a Sunday. And I think I stood up and I said it out loud. I said, that's my appointment. They're here for me.
Love it. Love it, love it, love it.
And then I looked around and said, oops, you know. But, so I got in the water and swam about 200 yards offshore, and there was just me, and there was one other man out there that we talked about, and he lives there. And we spent about an hour and a half swimming with this pod of 12 dolphins, and they talked to me, basically, telepathically, and said, if you bring people here, and as long as you guys are pretty cool, you know, pretty good people, we'll come and play with you. And so that was the genesis of it. That was the birth of it. It was, I felt tricked into it. And from there, we, you know, our spirits, our own spirits, and the universe, spirit, God, love, tricks us into it. So how could I resist that? And
I'm telling you, that's quite an agreement with the dolphins. You know, that intelligence, that just sounds like something they would say. If you bring the right people, we'll definitely come.
Yeah, they left themselves a loophole.
Yes, absolutely, they would.
Yeah, but very mischievous, and sort of playful, and we've had females bring their babies really close. Now, these are wild spinner dolphins, so they don't really let you touch them. That would be a unique situation. Happens very, very rarely. But they are wild free dolphins. There's nothing wrong with a captive flipper-type Atlantic bottlenose dolphins. That's beautiful work that we do with healing when we swim with them in captive situations. But this is a very safe, calm Pacific Ocean, Hawaii, where the locals bring their little kids. They're very safe situations where we swim out to them, and you can be in a kayak or you can just be swimming on the surface and have them swim around you. And we're also setting up a situation where we'll go out on the boats as well. So it is
awesome.
It's very beautiful. And they'll talk through your body. They'll send sort of their chatter, their talking through your body. And when they look at you and they pick up a leaf that you've left for them, everyone has a unique experience with the dolphins. But it's really quite a transformative place and experience.
Oh, it's awesome. I want to give out the phone numbers one more time in case anybody wants to ask Tobias a question since we're on the travel section here. It's 877-876-5227 or 888-815-9756. And Tobias has three other, and these are all animal-related trips. And that I love because it's so connected to Mother Nature and the planet. And his other three locations are Crystal River, Florida, and New Mexico, where the wild wolves are encountered and the wild horse adventures are held. The Crystal River, Florida manatee swim I found particularly interesting because I'm from Florida and I know Crystal River very well. It's a beautiful area. And I have actually had the fabulous experience of swimming with a pod of manatees, including a baby. And I got to hear them vocalize, touch them, make eye contact. There really is no words to describe the miraculous, amazing energy in getting up close and personal to animals that are wild beings. And that wildness has is part of the reason, Tobias, isn't it, that you have chosen these encounters between people and animals as adventure travel?
Yes, absolutely, because, you know, getting us to feel directly, viscerally, when you're in with, and you and I met through the Wild Wolf Sanctuary, where Leighton Cougar was doing had one of the ambassador wolves there. And I had searched for several years to find a good wolf place. And the reason I use we have these animals, because they have different totems. The Native Americans call them totem spirits. They have an essence, like we all can feel, there's an archetypal essence of the wild horse. And even if it's used to advertise cars or something, it doesn't matter, we can feel freedom. The word freedom is that free horse running across the plains. There's something deep, a deep cord inside humans of freedom with a horse. And with a wolf, we have Jack London, the call of the wild. It's a wild spirit. It's a wildness with a wolf. Freedom with horses, wildness with wolves, and manatees are really the spirit of peace. They're a spirit of gentle, surrendered peace. And animals embody literally different vibrations, just like tones or different music sounds and feels very different. And I joked with you earlier, Karen, about that. I call the manatees the Buddhists of the animal world.
Because they even look kind of Buddha-like.
Yeah, don't they? And if you get to pet their belly, it's the same experience, you know?
Mm-hmm.
They really are. They're the spirit of turn the other cheek. They don't fight back. And sometimes that's a problem with motorboats because they can, you know, get caught in that engine sometimes in all the bays down there. But they're a gentleness. They're gentle. We used to call them sea cows. It's a gentle spirit, you know. So when people come and spend time with dolphins or play, they're the spirit of play and mischievousness and sort of not being bogged down by anything heavy. If you're feeling heavy heaviness, the dolphins will snap you out of it, you know?
Yes.
These different spirits, when you go spend time with them, you get imbued with that energy. You literally, it's like being imprinted and connecting on a visceral level with that. And so that tends to really affect and open people in a fun, what could be more fun than getting big wolf paws on your shoulders and having your, I was just there 3 weeks ago and I had my ears licked at a, you know, by Cheyenne at a whole nother level. I completely surrendered. And it's like with your dogs or pets. When you surrender, they feel it, and it's sort of like they push their energy a little stronger into you. And it was just, it's just so wonderful, you know.
Well, the it's genius idea to, in my opinion, to create adventure tours around animals, because that naturally sets the person up for experiences on multiple levels and dimensions automatically. Let me ask you this question, Tobias. It's really nice that these trips are within the United States because it makes the travel plans easier, but are custom tours available with Spirit Travel?
You mean, oh, to customize? Absolutely, yes. If we have five or more people, there's several things in the works. We're looking to do some Peruvian trips down to the jungles and the Amazon, and we don't have regularly scheduled ones yet, and we're also looking to set one up to India. Those are two in the works right now. But anytime there's five or more people that want to, I've spent several times in India, and I've been to the Amazon with the ayahuasca shamans, and anytime there's a group that would like to try to customize something to those places, and, you know, absolutely, we are ready to do that. And also we can do it any time of year. In other words, if you have a group that wants to come to see the wolves just for your group, we can set that up as well.
That's so cool that it has that flexibility offer. And if anybody wants to check out the website to see what it looks like or to ask questions of Tobias in the future, go to www.spirittravel.com. And that's with one T, S-P-R-I-T-R-A-V-E-L. Right, Tobias?
That's correct, yeah. And just
okay.
click on the animal, the big pictures of a wolf, a horse, you know, the dolphins. Just click on which one you're interested in. There's lots of detail there. And it's for all budgets, by the way. We try to.
I noticed that.
Yeah, we try to offer, very beautiful accommodations in Hawaii, right on the ocean, beautiful resort. But there's also camping on the beach, and then we have a beautiful old Japanese hotel that's a very traditional hotel. So various budgets, and if you travel with a friend or a partner, we do a half off for the second person. So,
I have to say, Tobias, I've traveled a little bit, not extensively, but I've had a few trips, and your prices are truly, truly reasonable for the quality of the trip that's offered. It's really pretty awesome.
Thank you. Yeah, and we try to make it flexible. This is about supporting these animals. We donate substantial portions of the income that each person contributes directly to the wolf sanctuary or the horse sanctuary, or foundations for the manatees and dolphins. So we want to make it a win-win all the way around. We want to make it fun, a vacation, you learn something, you're doing something good for the planet and yourself, and you really will have a once-in-a-lifetime experience, you know.
It is true. I've experienced the dolphins, not on your trip, but in my life, I've experienced being in the presence of dolphins, manatees, and the wolves, and it is life-changing, and it's life-changing every time, and it's different every time. So before we, I don't want to just stay too much on the travel because I want you guys to hear about his book, Listening to the Sun. It's available in audio CD, and you can find out more about it on his travel.com site, spirittravel.com. But the book has been described by readers this way: an amazingly glorious, crazy, awesome chunk of info and heart-based, fiery, kick-ass, wisely orgasmic information. And the book warning label reads, "Caution, may undo your current beliefs and views about how things are, so consider yourselves warned." Right, Tobias?
I'm very honest in this book. I gave myself permission to write the book that I would have loved to have found when I was first looking and also wanting to see deeper in the functions of what's really going on the planet and in our galaxy. Or, you know, what about ETs? What's going on and how does that make sense? And there's a lot of obvious confusion about spirituality, God, sex, love, money, ETs, angels. And these are bite-sized, 2 to 4 pages, experiences of mine that I translate into words. Very much, I'm trying to have fun with it. And
yes.
Also, it's teaching, learning, and the people that connect with this book, they really connect with it. But I joke about the warning, but because I'm not filtering and I'm not trying to market this to a particular demographic, I'm not trying to clean it up. I speak very honestly about sex, which is, you know, sex and religion, if you mix those two, for example, I call it, you know, it's like a neutron bomb if you start mixing sex and God, you know.
Yes, you know, it's true. It is interesting, and you know, Lars Tobias has studied heart-centered tantra, and you know, what does the word tantra actually mean, Tobias? And is tantra about sex, baby?
Tantra is a Sanskrit word. And Sanskrit was the original language, one of the ancient languages, actually before the fall, before the whole history of the Garden of Eden and the Judeo-Christian or Mesopotamia history. There were other cultures, and those cultures go way back on the land in India. India was part of a continent named Lemuria, and India actually broke off and then got pushed up against the Himalayas. But it's an ancient, ancient land, and Sanskrit was one of the original languages. Even etymologists who study languages agree that Sanskrit is the mother of all languages on the planet. And tantra is a word from that language that has several meanings, but it literally means to weave, is one meaning. It's to weave energy together, to spin, weave, merge, play together. And there's lots of tantra workshops out there around sexuality, but my tantra is a bit different than that, which in order to have true tantra, in my view, you need to mix all parts of you. In other words, you don't stay stuck inside the dogma. There's tantra dogma, just like anything else. Why should it be different?
Right.
You know, Jesus came and taught one thing, and that turned into a dogma, and it's very true. A lot of people have genuine relationships with Jesus Christ today, and there's a lot of sort of got caught in dogma. The same with tantra. There's real tantra, and there's stuff out there that's sort of dogmatic tantra. So you have the true tantra is complete honesty in your heart and with lust. And mixing love and lust. I'm just saying it clearly tonight.
I see. I think we have a caller. I heard a beep. I believe we have a caller on the line. Hello? Do we have a caller on the line? You're on the air.
I don't think
not hearing a response. So if you're still there, call back. If you have a question, be sure to call us, and we'll be happy to talk with you. Is there a caller on the line I'm not hearing?
No, I don't think so.
Okay. No, must not be. Okay, that's cool. But Tainted Love, that's the title of one of the chapters in We're Not Listening to the Sun, which are sort of, I would describe them almost as personal essays, and they're really interesting because you can put them alongside your bed and read an essay a night, beginning, middle, and end. It's really cool, and it's really out of the box, and it's really free-flowing. So Tainted Love, Spiritual Matters and Sex in the Same Book. Excuse me, go ahead.
And that's not all it's about. But I joke about this, four out of 40-some-odd chapters, there's probably 4 of them about that. But obviously we have to. You know, I asked Spirit about this. Show me about this. Why are we so messed up or confused about sex? And it does make sense underneath it, what we're experiencing, you know.
That's a big subject.
it's the subject, you know.
Yes.
Because everything gets created that way.
Absolutely.
Including by the big spirit, Father God and Mother God. Of course they had sex to create the whole universe. And so we are simply reflections of that. And that's why it is the ultimate pleasurable thing to create and birth more love. But we need to detox it too. So the tantra that I advocate or encourage with people is to really clean out those dark aspects of sex, you know, and take it back from the hidden places, from pornographers and so forth. We need to have it come to light, so to speak. We need to have all of that to be healed. You cannot do it through the way the old spiritual teachings were, that sex is somehow bad or should be avoided, or even to the point of celibacy or and so forth, whether it's yogic teachings or celibate monks. And that simply is passé at this point. We need to incorporate. Incorporate means to bring into the body. We need to embrace, incorporate, include sexuality as a full part of ourselves in our spiritual awakening. And there are ways to do that. It will be a scary ride at times, but it's really the only way to really go home to who we really are.
That's really, Tobias, why I focused in on that particular part about sex and love, because it is such a, the foundation of things, if you will. But Not Listening to the Sun has a lot more topics that are not only great reading, but provide impetus for great discussions and conversations around what's read in the book. And so I want to say one more time about what Tobias does. He is the director and founder of SpiritTravel.com, that's with one T, SpiritTravel.com. He offers eco adventures of four different types, all including animals, in beautiful sections of the United States. And check out his website, because there's a lot to offer. It's got free articles, book excerpts, audio and video programs as well. That's Travel, Spirit, SpiritTravel.com. He also offers several forms of healing and counsel in his practice of Sedona counseling, and it is his most interesting one, I think, is the Spirit Activations, which is a very quiet form of energy work that the client increases and has many benefits from. There's a good FAQ on his website if you want to know a little bit more about it. Once again, it's SpiritTravel.com with one T. Tobias is available also to speak at your church, group, or organization. He's a national speaker, and he is most interesting and most outside the boundaries of conventional thinking. And he comes from the heart, which is very important in speakers and healers. If you have questions about what's happening on the earth, and if you're ready to know more about sex, love, life, money, the afterlife, ETs, the real history of the earth, angels, God, and true spirituality, check out We're Not Listening to the Sun by Tobias Lars. Thanks for joining us, Lars. That really was a crazy-ass, fiery chunk of info, baby. I'll be back here on... Yes, it's great to talk to you again, my friend. I'll be back here on Station 1 at 6 p.m. PDT on Monday, September 29th. That's right, three Mondays with the Tall Cat this month. Woohoo! Oy, such a deal. If you'd like to schedule a personal reading with me or offer comments about show topics, just go to mr.tallcat@gmail.com. I'm sending you on with more music from the Beatles. All you need is love. Do, 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 do. All together now. All we need is love. Bada, bada, bum. Love, love. Did you know that George Harrison chewed gum while he was recording that video? Useful information from the Tall Cat. Love is all you need. Yeah, baby. I'll see you next week, September 29th, 6 p.m. PDT, Tall Cat Psychic 101 on Station 1. Nothing you can sing that can't be sung.
nothing you can say, but you can learn how to play the game. It's easy. Nothing you can make that can't be made. No one you can save that can't be saved. Nothing you can do, but you can learn how to be you in time.
Hi, Peggy Lee Quayler here. Thanks for listening to Songs from My Stories Untold album. Copies of the album are available from cdbaby.com/cd/Peggy Lee with an A. And thanks for listening to BBS Radio. If it's not mainstream, it's on bbsradio.com, the number one internet radio network on the planet.
Hemp, the superfood for you and your family. Hemp has nutritional values that far exceed any known plant. Hemp, used for food, clothing, and shelter since time began. Hemp, this God-given food source is controlled by your government, making it not legal to grow for American people and farmers, but legal to import. Our founding fathers grew hemp because they knew of the benefits it offered. The protein powder, seeds, and oil are available through hempusa.org. Recommended daily intake of this food source will allow the body to heal itself from many ailments. Loaded with potassium, magnesium, calcium, essential fatty acids, amino acids, and nutrients not available in other plants. Hemp can be stored with a long shelf life as a life-sustaining food source for you and your family. Could this be the government's best-kept secret? Call today at 908-691-2608 and see what the powder, seeds, and oil can do for you. Learn. Help. Shop at hempusa.org. We do not charge for shipping. That's 908-691-2608 or go to hempusa.org today.